Welcome to Thriving in Your Third Act, a free online event featuring bold women leaders who are sharing their favorite tips, tools, and practices to help you find fire and fulfillment after 50. Share this event with your friends and family and come join us on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Sabrina Chaw.
It is my pleasure to introduce you to Anaya Sophia. Anaya Sophia is an independent mystic of an almost forgotten faith and is an author of 7 books and teacher of Kundalini Yoga. She carries an oral transmission that stirs the remembrance of the Sophia, of Isis, of Magdalene lineage. And Anaya, I am so happy you can join us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sabrina. It is indeed my honor to be here with us all.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this interview for a while, and I just really appreciate your title of like being an independent mystic of an almost forgotten faith. Can you tell us what this almost forgotten faith is of which you're a mystic, and how is it especially relevant for women over 50?
Well, this almost forgotten faith, I would say, is the feminine embodied consciousness of, we could call it the Christ path, but it's even older than that. But I think that'll send us in the right direction. Just a sentence as simple as that. And it includes such great women as Mary Magdalene, Isis, Joan of Arc, the Queen of Sheba. But of course, it is also including present day ladies, maybe perhaps like yourself. And for me, I can honestly say, I truly, in the most humblest of ways, believe I am part of this long line of feminine givers of the light, so to speak. And why this is relevant for ladies, for women over 50, is because I believe we're in a unique time in our history. I'm not quite 50, but it's only 1 year away. It's only 1 year away. And I'm seeing how healthy women are in their 50s, how intelligent, how awake, how determined, and almost filled with a second force of life. Whereas opposed to maybe my mother or my grandmother's generation, by the time you reached 50, you really were really nearing the end of your working life. You were definitely looking to wind down. Whereas our generation, many of us are feeling that they actually want to wind up more in a more authentic and really life-affirming way. So that's why when you asked myself to come on this summit, I was all yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes to that, and yes to bringing back the forgotten faith. Now, you emphasize the fierce feminine. Why the fierce feminine?
Well, the fierce feminine, I had to say it twice, is really coming into my awareness. And this could most likely possibly tie in with myself being midway through the menopause. But I also feel that it's a current flavor for all of us at this moment, men and women alike. It's as if our levels of consciousness are starting to come in so deep now that it's looking for some kind of active embodiment of service to the world. We've read enough, we've listened enough, we've watched enough, and now we simply have to respond with some kind of spinal strength behind a cause that we're absolutely willing to get behind. And, you know, many of us are calling this the fierce feminine. And the reason why it's kind of gone into the feminine category is because it is moved by the emotional spirit. It's moved by the heart. It is this embodied realization that we are interdependent with all of life on this beautiful planet, and we are the caretakers and the custodians, and we're all being called to act on this. And so I feel it's a feminine, it's the feminine part of us that's getting motivated and moved to respond.
I see. So fierce feminine is the motivated part of us that feels the calling, that strong, fervent, like Joan of Arc, as you say, desire to serve and to transform the planet into something that's more true of our nature and of the planet's nature then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about, too, some of the flavors of the feminine, such as, like, Kali, you know, like the goddess of destruction. Some of the fierce feminine that I think of, like in Hindu culture, that awakens, that virtually does scorched earth in order to say, no bullshit, this is what we need to awaken to, and this is how we're going to do it. Is that what you also mean by fierce feminine? I mean, that type of, like, huge awakening, and how do we incorporate that in our own embodiment as women?
Oh, absolutely. I believe I've called on two flavors of this fierce feminine in the writing of the book. One is absolutely Kali, and the other one is the Black Madonna. To me, Kali is this volcanic, externalized, all-shaking, all-moving force of change and discernment and, as you say, bullshit calling and standing our ground and speaking out and speaking up. Whereas the Black Madonna, this is an internalized root and presence that sends us more into our dark nature. But when I say dark nature, I don't mean evil and wicked. I mean dark as in unknown, mystical, and Gnostic. Direct connection with our origins. So hopefully you're starting to get a sense of, wow, there's a really big external expression, and there's a very deep and kind of frightening but also really thrilling internal expression.
Oh, beautiful. I can really get that feeling, this sort of, like, I can feel it from my root chakras coming up as you're talking about that, about the internalized root presence of Black Madonna. How do we access her?
Well, it's quite easy, actually. It is, for myself, it's been through prayer. But first of all, I had to get through quite a few layers of religious fear, possibly a little bit of goddess fear, because I knew this one existed. I really knew that from the off start. And there was some conditionings that prevented me from really praying, really calling for her to come into my life in a very real and palpable way. But when you really are willing and able to meet with this mystical presence, it has been patiently waiting for us all along. It's frighteningly close. It's probably listening in on this call. It literally is on and in our every breath. And when we say, you know, Black Madonna, come, or Kali, come, they come, because it's part of life. It's already here. But now we're saying, yes, I'm ready for the connection.
Beautiful. I'm just imagining now as you're talking, closing my eyes, and I'm envisioning the Black Madonna, and I'm saying to myself, come. How do we bring her in through our bodies, minds, and heart? Do we focus on, say, the pelvic area, the solar plexus, the heart? Or, you know, is there a gesture with our bodies to bring her in more so that we receive her?
There's a lovely thing that stood out for me, and that's in the Gnostic Gospel of Mary Magdalene. And it was a translation by Jean Le Loup. And apparently it's Mary Magdalene talking to Yeshua and fellow disciples. And she's giving her reflective insights into how she can perceive the risen Christ, so the transfigured Christ. And she made it quite clear that this part of consciousness wasn't her spirit and it wasn't her soul. It was the overlap of these two aspects, which in the book is known as the new, N-O-U-S. So I contemplated that for myself, and I thought, well, my spirit feels fiery, animated, and golden, whereas my soul feels very deep, tranquil, incredibly loving, and very innocent. So I imagined those two aspects, like two spheres in my consciousness, overlapping like a Vesica Pisces. And so I started to head for that sort of elliptical overlay, you know, in my mind, in my own sort of journeying and meditation. And I must say, it is a very interesting and very realistic place where phenomena really is happening that is very, very different to prayer and very, very different to meditation. At first, I could barely stay there long enough before passing out. But as I practiced, as I went there with the breath, you reach this place where you think you're just about to fall asleep, but you don't. You actually continue on. And that's where all sorts of very interesting things can start happening, which I'd easily put into that bracket under the word gnosis, which literally means to know, direct connection. That is where I found the Black Madonna, waiting patiently.
Well, I can't wait to be able to sit down and do a practice of that, to bringing the Black Madonna in. Can you lead us through a short experiential visualization or meditation to bring her in right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, if you just close your eyes and start playing with that imagery that was written in the Gnostic Gospel of Mary Magdalene. If you can imagine in one half of your consciousness or one half of your head is the fiery, animated, ecstatic realm of the spirit. And on the other side is this deep, gorgeous, compassionate pool that is your soul. And if you imagine them now slowly starting to come together like two spheres, one golden, perhaps the other one silver or blue, and when they touch, there's already an incredible ripple of energy. And as they start to bleed into one another, forming the Vesica Pisces, you start to notice how this third shape in the middle is not golden or silver, but is, in fact, a blend of the two, like a bronze. And you are heading straight for this new region. It's like the meeting of two worlds. It's the third and unknown realm. It's not the spirit. It's not the soul. But it's the new. And as you start heading there, things are going to get very dark and rich, like warm, velvet, thick water. and your breath and your desire to stay awake are the only things that can come with you. Everything else is going to be pulled from you as you start to pass through this eye of the needle, heading towards your true beingness, your sacred origins, and the ability to perceive things as they really are. And it is from here that we can earnestly call to the Black Madonna, to Sophia, to Carly, to further instruct us. As we become her vessel on earth in this time. I feel something like that can be easily remembered, and maybe when everyone gets into bed tonight, that's exactly what they do, because that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Oh, yes, and I feel that rich, dark, velvety, warm, thick water that you're describing. And I'm also aware that how do we take this feeling, this place, this sacredness of who we are, our sacred origin, as you describe, into our daily lives, so that we continue to come to this, because then we're going to work, or we have traffic, or whatever it is. How do we continue to embody her?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. This is the million-dollar question. And this is what I've been writing about, because this is the place to take all of our decision-making. This is the place to contemplate whether we're going to get involved with someone in a relationship or not. This is the place to come to when we're thinking of moving home or moving jobs. So somehow we've got to really get it into everyday participation. We have to remember somehow this deep, rich source of internalized wisdom is the realm, is the place that's going to be the game changer. And I can't help feeling that ladies in their 50s will actually have more free mind time to spend in this place. Because when we're a mother, we're running around looking after the kids and taking care of the 101 tasks that needs to be done to maintain a family. But when those little chicks have fled the nest, there can often be a sense of, well, now what do I do? And of course, there's plenty one can be doing exercises like this. Not only will we find ourselves again after playing the family role, but we're going to find so much more than just the self that we remembered.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And I wonder, Anaya, how can women embody this feeling of the fierce feminine into all her seven chakras? Because you were just speaking of the heart earlier, how can we incorporate it into all of the chakras?
Well, I've come up with a little tool for that, actually. it's just fun, bite-sized pieces to place within each chakra. So for the root, I would say this is where we have to stand our ground. For the second chakra, the sacral chakra, often and always associated with sexuality, this is where I would say show up only for sovereign sexuality. Be incredibly mindful of who we're saying yes to and where this yes is taking place. For the third chakra, I would say accountability, boundaries, and integrity. These are the words that need to be slotted into that third chakra. For the fourth chakra, the heart, I would say discernment, depth, and awakening in relationship. That relationship can be the crucible of awakening, or it can be a one-way ticket all the way down into the bowels of hell, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. For the throat, I would say, break our silence. Speak up and speak out to any secret, anything that you know is going on. For the sixth chakra, I would say, she who knows. We have to reclaim and restore our feminine, deep feminine gift of intuition and get behind that again and believe in that again, just like the ladies of old. And then finally, the seventh chakra, I would say, is original innocence. Original innocence is the crown we have probably been looking for our entire lives, that it's not some kind of glittering, radiant halo of goddessness or high priestessness, which is what we see on Facebook, but that crown is actually the restored innocence of our realization of who we are, where we're going, and where we came from.
That's a very profound way of speaking of the crown chakra, Anaya, that this is the place of our original innocence. As I think of women over 50, many women over 50 who've lived such a life of sometimes sacrifice and, a loss and some betrayal, and, you know, right now there could be some physical conditions that they could be encountering, and I don't want to just paint a dark picture of women over 50, but there are times, you know, we think about all the things we've experienced, and there's a hardness. There's maybe a resignation. And so innocence is something that I think is really important to just focus on a little bit here, if you don't mind.
Yes.
How do we bring that back then? And so you're saying for the seventh chakra, the origin of innocence, or the original innocence, how do we bring that innocence back?
Well, for me, I think it's important that we remember those initiatory rites of passage. I don't think we can think our way or breathe or yoga our way into innocence. I think we're going to need some kind of catalyzing event that can bring us to our knees and remember the absolute goodness, beauty, and joy that is within us, despite whatever kind of life that we've lived. And luckily, or maybe unluckily, no, I think luckily, I have had this experience and take women to caves, actually, where we do darkness rituals. And to begin with, this can be extremely frightening and very uncomfortable and very unnerving, especially a woman who's been, you know, hardwired to be driven, as we are in the West, to be some sort of bionic supermum who has children and a job and running a family and cars and credit cards and all of that stuff. So when you come to the caves where we live in the south of France, and suddenly the lights go off and you are in pitch jet blackness, so much can come up. But should you stick with it, should you stay with your breath and the circle of women that you'll be in the cave with, eventually something will snap or break. And suddenly you'll find your connection to the floor, the ground of the cave. And, you know, you'll feel the dirt, you'll feel the sand, you'll feel the rocks, and you'll realize that this is supporting you, that this once frightening, scary, isolated place is actually the mother figure a larger mother than yourself, the cosmic mother, the earthly mother. And 9.9 times out of 10, that's the moment when the lady breaks down into what I call beautiful tears, where she literally grabs handful of the earth or the sand, possibly even rubs her face in it, in an embrace of finding that ancient connection that instantly restores that beautiful sense of innocence again.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. I really get that, the darkness ritual, huh, and how important that is in our lives. I'm wondering now, you also earlier, and when you were going through the chakras, talked about sovereign sexuality. Can you speak a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yes. Well, us ladies need to realize, and this is a yogic truth. This is now being seen as a biological truth. It's definitely a mystical truth. When a woman makes love, has sexual intercourse with a man or another woman, she will take on the energetic imprint of that partner's emotional and mental beingness in that moment, as well as the frequency and resonance of the environment that she has made love in. Now, if we think about the number of times we have made love, we're probably at this stage rolling our eyes going, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm hearing. But these imprints, these energetic stamps, if you like, it's like a hall of records, and they get embedded, or rather encoded, into the actual tissue of the womb area and region. And of course, if we've had a lot of partners, that's a lot of energetic debris stored inside of the woman's body as a constant reminder and feeling memory of that past partner, but B, some sort of codex to his or her general characteristics and beingness. And so if we've had a little bit of a dodgy partner, which we've all had, it would be rather wise to delete or diminish these memories stored within the flesh and tissues of the woman's body. And there are quite a few easy to follow and actually, to be honest, quite simplistic in their approach. It's not complex. What's important is that we do this work, not how difficult it is. And so, and that's what I mean by sovereign sexuality. We really, really check in with self, knowing now what we know. We're about to take on the emotional and mental state of this partner. Are they in a good shape and form right now? And if it's a no, we jolly well stick to that no, which is difficult for women. We're trained to say yes and to be pleasing just pleasing in every way.
Mm-hmm. So what you're also talking about, well, I have a couple of questions there. Number one, how do we delete those memories in our tissues? And number two, you're also talking about how do we become more accountability in our sexuality by asking ourselves, is this partner, like you say, in good shape or the right one for us? So my second question is, what is the question we need to ask ourselves if this person is the right person? So those two questions.
Absolutely. Well, the first one, how do we start deleting this debris? The way I've done it, I've used yoni eggs, crystal yoni eggs. I never really felt drawn to the jade egg, which is part of the Taoist tradition. I'm more of a crystal person. I definitely felt more drawn to work with a pink, a rose quartz, crystallized egg that I was very much programming with my heart resonance, and my prayer for good health and sexual, let's just say, cleanliness. So I really worked with this crystal at the level of my heart and really filling it with my authentic beingness. And then what you do is you insert the crystal into the yoni. It's in the shape of a nice smooth egg, so it's a very comfortable place for it to go, and it stays there for as long as is needed. You yourself can take it out the way you would a tampon or a moon cup, or you can leave it for it to naturally come out by itself, which it will. Now, obviously, if this is the first time the listeners are coming across this material, there's going to be 101 questions about yoni eggs. So maybe the best thing to do would be to research that. I could go on forever about this subject. But I do feel it needs to be physically done. So once again, this kind of energetic debris, I believe, cannot be prayed away. It cannot be meditated away. It cannot be breathed out. Although all of those tools are incredibly useful, I believe it also needs a physical counterpart. And that, for me, was working with the yoni eggs. So the second part is the question. First of all, we have to realize the womb is an energetic library or hall of records of every single sexual encounter, touch, and holder of contracts that have been passed from mother to daughter. This area is so extremely sensitive, and anyone who gets anywhere close to it, let alone penetrating, is going to be photographed, if you like, by the womb, and that photographic memory will be embedded like a little library book on the shelf, and it will contain, as we said earlier, the mental and emotional condition of that partner. So if they're drunk, think twice. If they're angry, think twice. If this is some form of communication because you're just not getting anywhere with other means, think twice. If this is some kind of bargaining or pleasing or pacifying, think twice. It really should only be agreed upon if you feel that this is intimately going to bring you closer together and that the two of you are going to evolve and expand because of the life force of your genuine coming together. That is an ideal situation. That's what to aim for. And once again, to also consider the environment. Are we doing this in the back of the car? Are we doing this in someone else's bed? Are we doing it sneakily and quickly so not to get caught? Are we doing it in the office? All of this kind of edgy debris is also going to go straight up and into the womb and be part of the record that is stored there. So it's fabulous and as exciting as it could be by, you know, making love in these thrilling situations and places, check on the resonance of the environment and just ask yourself, is this the kind of energetic that I want to keep inside of me?
That's the question. Is this the energetic resonance that I want to keep inside of me?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be the defining question. That was great, because that was the next question I was going to ask you, is what do we ask ourselves then in order to discern all these factors on and the recognition of all these things that you're saying about our partner. So that's perfect. Thank you. Anna Sophia, this has been such a rich discussion of sexuality, of what the fierce feminine means. And I can go on and on, because your voice, your what you're teaching is so rich, and I can feel it just going into my body so deeply. I'm wondering, as we wrap up this interview in the next minute, what can you share with us as a final thought for women over 50 in reclaiming their fierce feminine?
I would say to those ladies, and as you know, I'm so close, we might as well just say I'm there too, because it's only a year away. Now, more than ever, we are so close to our original and authentic essence. When we were younger, we would have been projecting out all kinds of learnt and conditioned responses. The menopause is and will strip all of that away if we allow it to have its way with us. And what will be left standing will be an absolute and resolute reflection of our true beingness. So ladies, let's not be afraid. Let it burn off the dross and let's rise as she, who we are, and be active custodians of this beautiful natural earth.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Anaya. And I just want you to have an opportunity as well, and for all the listeners here, that you actually have a place in the French Pyrenees, a B&B, where women can stay to really sink deeply into this place that you're speaking about. Can you talk about that just a little bit,
just a last thing? Yes. We have a small B&B. It's called Occitania, in a place called Puyvert, in what was known as the Languedoc. It's now known as Occitania again, which is the original Occitan name. Yes, and so if you want your darkness initiation or you want to come to the caves and meet the Black Madonna, I would be only too happy to escort you all the way to those places.
Great. I love that invitation. And listeners, where you can find Anaya and find out more about this B&B and all her work, you can find her at www.anayasofia.com. That's AnayasOphia.com. Thank you, Anaya, for joining us today. This has been so amazing, this journey you took us on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you come back.
Yes, please.
And thank you, listeners, for joining in. And we will see you in the next call.
Thank you for joining us for Thriving in Your Third Act, brought to you by The Shift Network. To learn more, visit thrivingInYourThirdAct.com. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit TheShiftNetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and sharing this empowering path with your friends and family.